Lord, open thou my heart to hear, and through thy word to me draw near. Let me thy word e'er pure retain. Let me thy child and heir remain. Thy word doth deeply move the heart. Thy word doth perfect health impart. Thy word my soul with joy doth bless. Thy word brings peace and happiness. To God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, three in one, shall glory, praise, and honor be, now and throughout eternity. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're meditating today on that gospel lesson read a few minutes ago from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It was Thursday night this past week, toward the end of a rather serious and momentous Board for Lay Ministry meeting. We call our church council a Board for Lay Ministry here. And the brothers were very concerned that the whole congregation have an understanding of how important the voters' meeting is today, how big this decision is for our congregation and really for the kingdom of God in our outreach and planning. And so they were talking about how we're going to communicate this with an open forum and so forth, and finally looked at me with just very serious eyes to make sure, you know, that this message gets across. And I just smiled and said, "This is one of the things I love about being a pastor. I get to share these things." But in my heart, they could not hear me laughing with delight because I knew this text was coming. Except that it was months ago when the Holy Spirit put this text in my worship planning. I had no clue about where we'd be today or the opportunities that the Lord would be opening up for us. I don't know that stuff. I say my prayers, I choose the text for various reasons, we move on, and it happens over and over again that the Holy Spirit is anticipating what lies ahead, what we need, what I need to study for my own soul's good, and what God's people need to hear as we press on to lift high the cross. He's doing this constantly because our God is the God who, as he said through his holy apostle Paul, he is the one who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's the end of his doxology, not the end of the sermon. Thank you for not getting up. It was Thursday. Maundy, mandate, command Thursday of Holy Week. When Jesus spoke these words from John 15, most likely after they had left the upper room and were on their way to leave the city of Jerusalem to go out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus was about to pour out his heart in prayer to our Father in heaven before he went to the cross to pour out his blood to wash our sins away. And so he's comforting his disciples as he wants to comfort us today, strengthen us in our faith in this picture of such a close and intimate relationship between us and God, where he's telling us that we are like branches on the vine. We need him. And he is pleased in what he sees in us as he does his work in us. We're like branches on the vine, and we'll look first here at how we're pruned to be productive. Now, Jesus is using one of his I am statements that happen over and over in the gospel account according to John. Sometimes they're just an I am statement like you might make it, but more often than not, it's that I am from the Old Testament who was at the burning bush, in the burning bush with Moses, the bush that was burning but not burning up. And Moses says, "Who shall I tell the Israelites sent me back to tell Pharaoh, let my people go?" And he says, "Tell them I am sent you. I am who I am." It's the God who exists And this is meant to be a slap in the face to all those idols of Egypt and all the idols of the world out there that are figments of people's imagination and that the Lord, through his apostle, says are demons. The idols are just devils trying to lead people away from Christ into work righteousness, things they do on their own. So there had been all these false prophets that had come up in Israel over the years. Isaiah complains about that. Jeremiah too. All the faithful prophets were up against these false prophets who convinced the people with words that sounded good to them and made them feel good about themselves, that they could live sinful lives and God wouldn't care. He'd just keep on blessing them. They did not want to hear the true prophets of the Lord warning them that God's judgment would finally come down on their sin if they did not repent. So the Israelites, God's chosen nation, became a rejected vine, a corrupted vine. That's why Jesus says here in this first verse, I am the true vine. These other ones were corrupted. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He uses this picture of the farmer with the vineyard out there at the Heavenly Father, but Jesus is that vine, and they're working so closely together. As the Bible always shows us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect harmony, working together to save us, because God wants everyone to be saved. So they're constantly working like this, the Father, the gardener, and Christ the vine. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts off. There are some branches who, like Judas, one of Jesus' own disciples, and Jesus knew this from the beginning, and as he's teaching, he's trying to win Judas's heart. He's trying all the way up to when Judas betrays him in the Garden of Gethsemane, trying to get through to him. Jesus loves Judas. He wants him to repent. But Judas is listening, just not mixing his hearing with faith. So the words basically go in one ear and out the other. His heart just becomes more and more hard, until he betrays our Lord Jesus and then kills himself in a suicide of despair. He's cut off. And maybe you've seen people like that too over the years, where they look, you know, like a great branch but no fruit, and they're cut off finally, all of a sudden gone. Maybe even gone from the faith. Sometimes you can't tell, but sometimes it's actually obvious that they are. They're cut off. But then Jesus says also, every branch in me that does bear fruit, that one too, the Heavenly Father prunes, the gardener, so that it may bear more fruit. So I got a lesson in this one time when I was in college, and my coach told me to, or asked me if I would prune his pear tree. So Coach Thompson said to me, after you think you've completed the pruning, then go over it again and then maybe do it another time. So by the time I thought I was done, I mean, that tree just looked naked as could be. And I asked Coach Thompson what he thought, and sure enough, he said, do it again. Because when that tree has only a few branches left, all the sap will go into those branches and we'll get great pears off that tree. Can you imagine if that tree could sing like you, as a branch on the vine, could sing at times when the Lord is pruning in your life? You belong to him as his own dear child and heir of heaven, a branch on the vine, which is Christ, but you are fruitful and the Lord wants to make you more fruitful, so sometimes he's busy cutting. And if those branches could sing, it would be a sad song. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Didn't you know that I needed this or that, this person, that person? Congregations get in that situation too. We can have branches that look so leafy, so alive, so refreshing. All of a sudden, the Lord cuts them off. And we feel naked and bare. And we feel like, Lord, why would you do that? And the Lord says, I know what I'm doing. The Father is the gardener. He can prune back until he knows it's just right so that more fruit will grow and flourish. Because that's his plan. But don't ever feel in the midst of that that you are somehow being punished. Sometimes our conscience starts to trouble us when these difficult things come into our lives. And is God punishing me? People will ask me that, Pastor, is God punishing me? The answer is always, oh no. No double jeopardy with God. He punished all the sins of the entire world before and after the cross at Calvary. He saved up the guilt from the previous sins, it says in Romans, the previous generations that died and went to hell because of unbelief. Same as people now. But those sins were all punished on Christ because the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that means your sins and mine, which are in our lives today, which we keep doing, we can't help, yesterday that we've forgotten already, sins that may come tomorrow, already punished on Christ, already forgiven. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us, purifies us from every sin. The word that's used here for pruning also means cleansing. Because if you have a pear tree or a grape arbor that's got all these suckers, branches sticking up here, there, and everywhere, they're just sucking up the sap from the root and producing nothing. It's a dirty vine. But the Lord cleanses that vine when he cuts all that away. And Jesus wants to reassure us as he reassures his disciples, you're already clean. Get that? He's not punishing you. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. So he cleanses our heart and cleanses us in his sight in our baptism. When he washes our sins away with that word-powered water and puts his righteousness on us, that's God's promise. There are many passages that tell us that in the Bible. And when we come to that holy supper, he wants it to show among our friends and families as new love, new kindness, new heartfelt words from God through us in that fresh forgiveness of his holy supper. Stay as a branch on the vine, he says, and you keep on bearing fruit. But there will be pruning. Prune to be productive. There was a pastor that wanted to demonstrate this for his congregation one time, so he went out to his grape arbor and cut off a branch and then took it quickly to church. Before they could even start the service, he noticed that this branch from the vine had just withered. Apparently, grape branches are like that. Just almost instantaneously, they start to die. He was amazed, actually, how quickly that happened. But that's what happens in our lives as Christians, too. As soon as you are cut off or disconnected from Christ, you're dying inside. You can quickly become a branch that's totally dead and useless and only good for the fire. And so the Lord has that warning that you can't have it either way. You are either connected to Christ, being pruned to be productive and growing in your faith and your fruits of faith, or you're a branch cut off from the Lord that's withering and dying and in terrible trouble. This is why we pass the friendship registers here. Sometimes our members, oh, you mean you're taking attendance? Yes, we are. We want to know when God's people are in God's house. And if you're inclined not to sign the friendship register, would you please think about other people that might see you not signing and think they shouldn't either? Visitors, perhaps, who otherwise, if they saw everybody doing it with them, well, why shouldn't I? And members that we need to keep in contact with so that we know when someone's away from that vine too long. Jesus has put this burden on our hearts to care for each other's souls. He wants us to stay grafted in Christ the vine and bearing rich fruit, glorious fruit from God. I am, again, another I am statement. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. That's not an if and or a maybe. That's a statement of fact and a promise from God. Stay in Christ, you will bear much fruit. I cannot tell you how many times over the years this verse has been such a comfort for me in my personal faith life and in my ministry here as a pastor at New Life. Because from the very start, people were telling me, Pastor, we need to get you some help. There have always been so many opportunities that I could not capitalize on, if I can use that word. People that needed to be visited and souls that needed to be reclaimed. There's so much that needed to be done. But this word of God is the promise that you stay in Christ the vine and you will bear much fruit. So over the years, the good Lord has given us a servant that's here in the office Monday through Thursday. Jill, our administrative assistant, who has turned out to be such a blessing beyond what we thought we were hiring. 30 hours a week, and we have to tell her not to stay so long and make sure we're not taking advantage of her. Her heart of God beats for God and his people, and so we have to make sure she gets home on time. And the 90 hours of work that I gave to the Board for Lay Ministry years ago when we were looking to hire someone, she's doing that much and more in 30 hours a week. The 90 hours must have been pastor's timing on it or something like that. We're so blessed that way. But over the years, I've also found out something to my dismay. If I complain too much about these things or push too hard, some kind-hearted person will bring a solution. Or I'll come up with one of these, you know, really bright ideas that never work. And then I look back and say, I so wish I had waited on the Lord to just pray and wait his time and let him bring it about in his own way, because he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So the meeting today is actually the answer to prayers where I really didn't know what to pray or what to say. But you give it to God, and he comes up with immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Some branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. It is a warning from our Lord how quickly pastors and people cut off from the vine can go from the vine to the fire. In a productive orchard or a productive vineyard, the trees or the vines that are not producing are cut off, quickly wither, and the warning is real. You dare not miss church. You dare not miss a day when you humbly bow before the Lord and at least get one word from the Bible, one word remembered from a passage that you memorized to say your prayers. We dare not do that, because just like the branch doesn't realize it's cut off from the vine, so for us and our souls. Stay close to the Lord. What he says today may be for your problem tomorrow. It may not be something that you realize is so good to hear because you're not in that problem yet. But our gracious God does preemptive strikes on problems that are still coming. The same as he picked out this text for this day before I knew what this day would bring and the opportunities before us. We have an amazing God. Trust him. Stay his branches on the vine. If you remain in me, Jesus says, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So I keep on laying out these prayers before God, and I keep on seeing how God brings the answers with gifts often given through new members. I have seen this over and over again, that new members come and they think, well, you know, what do I have to offer? I don't know, but it's going to be fun trying to find out, because you get to work for the Lord and all of a sudden these gifts that he has given you either are blossoming and flowering there and bearing fruit, or they're gifts you never knew you had. And so the Lord in his mercy hears our prayers and answers and blesses. So when I find myself falling short in outreach calls, wishing I knew more about worship, longing for training and long-range planning, I give it to the Lord, and the Lord surprises me with the availability of a pastor who wants part-time work, whose strengths are exactly in those three areas. Go figure. Amazing miracle. Kind of like the way the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him, and created the woman with all these differences that exactly match his, so that together they're one. And when husbands and wives quit arguing about their differences, like men thinking they should think, you know, women should think like, and then the women thinking the men should feel like them, it just doesn't work. It's not God's way. But when we remember this is how God created us in his blessing, we work together in glorious, miraculous ways, and we bear glorious fruit. Is it for God or from God? Our problem is so often we're trying to bear fruit for God. The branch can't think of this. Branch is on the vine. It's not for you and me to make this happen. It's God's working in us as we stay as like branches on the vine, that we bear glorious fruit from God. It's what he produces in us. So finally, the Lord says, and this ought to be comforting to you in your own personal life too, this last verse, my Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. I've seen tears of members recently and for years, carrying loved ones on their heart that have strayed from God. The concern that you have in your heart was placed there by God. But don't misunderstand it. God is not demanding of you with your family and friends that really need Jesus. He's not demanding of you that you as a branch are somehow going to make another branch fruitful. It's not up to you to do the pruning. The Father does the pruning to make us more productive. He'll prune you in your life as he prunes me and us as a congregation to make us more productive and fruitful. But it's not us so much bearing fruit for God as this glorious fruit that we have that we bear from God as he works in our hearts through word and sacrament. The same one who washed away our sins so that we are totally guilt-free, then rose again from the dead with power over death itself and vanquished that old enemy, uses that same power in our hearts and lives to produce fruit in ways that we can't begin to ask or imagine. It is the Father's glory that you be fruitful. It is his work, his glory, his doing. And the best thing we can do with loved ones who need Jesus is to keep on giving them over to our Lord Jesus Christ and reminding him, as I often did when my children were growing up and now with my grandsons, Lord, they're yours. They're yours first. No matter how much I love them, it's never going to be more than a tiny flicker of love compared to your immense, vast, immeasurable love. And that's how God loves your loved ones too. Our Heavenly Father had his own struggles with his son, Israel. You have your struggles too. But look at his determined, loving, continuous outreach and effort to bring the Israelites to the Lord as he has brought us, grafted us wild olive branches into the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Ah, it's glorious fruit for God. when you remember, I am His and He is mine. What can I want beside? Amen.